The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Peace be with you.
I had way too much fun with the snapping. Now that we've discovered the snapping, it's kind of a cool thing. So I want to ask you to grab your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, that is the proper way of saying it. The rest of you need to repent and turn on. Isaiah chapter 9 is where we're going to be. And if you've been with us the last 2 weeks, then you know that God couldn't wait to tell people of the coming of Christmas. He's kind of like a daddy who has a newborn on the way. He cannot wait. He's so excited. So unlike most of us, you know, we tell us like a few months in advance. God told us 700 years in advance. He's 700 years in advance. He's like, yo, my baby boy is coming. I need you to know my baby boy is coming. He's so excited about it. And so about 2,700 years ago, God foretold the Christmas story as we know it, choosing a prophet named Isaiah to tell the world about this amazing boy that we've born, the Prince of Peace. If you haven't been with us for the 2 weeks, I hope you kind of go back and look over some of the stuff, or maybe even go online. It's all online. You can watch it for yourself, and you can hear what we've been talking about. You can even listen to the podcast on Spotify. We're on there too. Join us and hear us and catch up to what God has been telling us over these last few weeks. But primarily, what I want to do in this message is continue this trajectory of the four names of God, the way that His Son will be known, the way that His Son will be known. Because 2 weeks ago, again, we talked about Him being the Wonderful Counselor. Right? Last week we talked about Him being Mighty God, and this week we're going to talk about Him being the Everlasting Father. And primarily, this will be at the heart of the message, is that He is our Everlasting Father. It's aimed to warm up your heart. I know it's been kind of warm today. It's supposed to be in the 60s apparently. So it's been kind of warm, but I'm talking about the Christmas spirit of your heart, right? I'm talking about the Scrooge that's kind of maybe cold and you deaden it a little bit because you're like, I got to buy another gift. I have to go to another Christmas party. I got to see those people. I don't want to go around all my family. All that stuff, right? I want you to kind of warm back up to the joy that like my kids have when I go, we're going to see your cousins. And they just all their eyes light up and they're like, yeah. Now, I know for Mama and I, we think we have to drive 5 hours. We have a dog in the car. We are in a house with like 18 people. It's very, very stressful. But as a child, if I got to see my cousins, it didn't matter what happened. Like my parents used to do parties, house parties. Did any of your parents do house parties? My parents did house parties and they would sweat and laugh and talk and drink all night. And I would fall asleep on a couch. I don't know if any of you guys ever experienced that, but I would fall asleep on a couch and I'd wake up and it would be the best times. Like it was some of the most joyous times in my life. But I look back on it, they're some of the most ghetto fabulous times in my life, right? Because nobody even put me in a bed or put a cover over me. I was just on a couch, right. Asleep, right? But the funny part about it is like, I enjoyed the moment and I didn't think about the stress of everything that went on around it. And I think as we grow into adults, sometimes we think about all the stress of the holidays and everything we got to do. Got to buy presents and wrap presents and do this and do that and make sure I got the right things. But we forget the reason behind all of it, why we have the joy, why we should enjoy the time. And sometimes when the sledding comes out and when the snow comes out, maybe you should just get on the sled, go down the hill, which by the way is hilarious. If you ever want to see videos of me going down the hill, they're out there somewhere. I've done it multiple times and I even try to keep my dog on the sled. Never works. Right. But sometimes you just got to do that until you can't feel your fingers anymore so that you can feel the joy of the holiday. All I want to do today is just warm you up. I want to warm your heart back up to what you really remember about what this is about. The joy of the season. And here's the thing I really want you to understand. When you hear what God and how excited He was about His Son, you should be just as excited. So again, if you haven't found it by now, turn to Isaiah chapter 9. It's on page 573 of your hardback Black Pew Bible. And stand in the honor and reading of God's Word. We're going to stick to that one verse for 2 more weeks. Here we are. Verse 6, the Word says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." If I were to have a thought today, it'll be the same thought I had every single week. I'm just changing two words. Jesus is my Everlasting Father. Jesus is my everlasting Father. Why don't you pray with me? Jesus, I thank you so much, not just for being my everlasting Father, but being my Prince of Peace, my wonderful Counselor. I thank you so much that you are my mighty God. I thank you that the Father in heaven was so excited about your coming that he showed up and said to a prophet, hey, this is the thing that's about to happen. It excites me to know that right now in my heart, I can become more excited about what you're doing through us and for your Son. And so Jesus, I just ask today that you rewarm our heart, you re-roll our soul, and you help us to see you, love you as we had that childlike faith when we did as a child. To have a joy that's beyond ourselves. We do it all for your glory and your joy. And we thank you so much for this Advent holiday. In your name we pray, and all God's people would say, amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. So I'm going to talk about something, and I've tried to craft it in a way that doesn't give any spoilers away. So track with me here. If you are familiar with the history of St. Nicholas or Santa Claus, it's been a very interesting history. I'm going to give you some kind of real history. I'm not going to talk about the guy that we know, right? So originally, according to tradition, in 4th century, Bishop of Myra, which is in Turkey, a man was concerned with the poor, always giving little gifts to poor children in his town. And that's where it comes from. That's where the Bishop of Myra, the Bishop of St. Nick comes from. So I always like to say the Bishop of St. Nick, the old guy that you've heard of probably way back or you read in the history books, was a pastor like me, which is kind of cool. There's a lot more to that history. You should look it up. I really, really like it. But in the Middle Ages, St. Nicholas changed a little bit. In the Middle Ages, relics, which are like bones or something that he touched or something he did, were stolen from Myra and taken to Bari, Italy. And there in the early 1700s, wives, listen to this, this is crazy, wives wishing to get rid of their husbands would use vials of poison with the inscription, Manna of St. Nicholas of Bari. So, gentlemen, if you look under the Christmas tree and there's a vial, don't drink it, right? It's just one of those things that was a real thing that used to happen. They would say, manna from manna from St. Nicholas of Bari. I was just like that. Wow. Like, I mean, just ask for a divorce or something, but you know, murder. Why not? Okay. And so, you know, if your wife is reviving that old tradition, let me know. We'll call the police. Okay. Later, if you kind of update later in colonial, New York, in New York City, we actually adopted St. Nicholas from the Dutch, and that's where we get the modern name of Santa Claus. That's where we get it, because it's actually transliteration, which I think is kind of cool to think about that. And we call him Santa Claus, and it moved also, we also, in here in New York, moved the feast day from December 6th, which is the original feast day, to December 25th, which was the English gift-giving holiday. And that's how we get the modern day Christmas as we know it today. I know some of us are like, what? But no, that's literally where it comes from, which is kind of cool. Clement Moore forever changed our view of St. Nicholas when in 1882, he wrote and read to his family on Christmas Eve, the night before Christmas. If you guys are familiar with that book, it's an amazing book, which a slender man, because St. Nicholas until that point was always slender until 1882, and then he became fluffy, like me, right? He was fat and jolly as we know him today. And St. Nicholas has gone through so many changes over all of these centuries. Over all these centuries he's gone through. The Catholic Church, matter of fact, even 40 years ago, removed his name from the saints list, which I thought was kind of interesting. But, I mean, he's still considered in many places a patron saint. But to set the record straight about that, kind of know the history behind the guy that a lot of us see, the red guy, you know, all the different things. But who he is as far as Christmas time is nothing compared to the one that Christmas is all about. Like, I love celebrating and having fun, and we can have fun with all this stuff, but, like, sometimes we get so lost in him that we forget the reason why we're doing this, right? Like, Father Christmas must bow before the Father of Eternity. As a matter of fact, historically, Father Christmas did bow before the Father of Eternity, and that's so cool to me, because the Father of Eternity never changes. You see, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, amen? And therefore, you can always count on him. He won't give up on you. He won't give your gifts up one day. He surely won't poison you the next day, right? Like, he's always going to be with you. And literally, the Father, the one who precedes eternity. You see, Jesus is originated time and eternity. He created, he controls it, he holds it all together. So go ahead and enjoy Santa Claus. Please do. I don't want to take that away from you, your children, or your grandchildren. But Christmas, if you're taking notes, is this. You must embrace Christ and Christ alone as your eternal God. You must embrace Christ and Christ alone as your eternal God. Now I'm going to marinate on this for a little bit before we get to the rest of the points, but I just want to get this to understand because you must make the Father, the eternal Father, the Father of eternity, the focus of your family. Celebrations that center your time of this earth. You must focus there. Grab a hold of Jesus who is not bound by time or limitations and don't let go of him. Please, if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Hebrews. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Book of Hebrews, chapter 1. And when you're in Hebrews chapter 1, where the Bible clarifies Jesus' relationship just a bit more, and if you don't have your Bible, I'm going to throw it up on the screen so you could read it. It says this, long ago, we're not doing Star Wars, long ago, at many times and in many ways, it literally was the first thing I heard of when I read this, right? So long ago, at many times and many ways, God spoke to our fathers by prophets. But in the last days, he was spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir over all things, and through him also created the world, i.e. God put Jesus in charge of everything, and through him, he made the universe. Literally, through he made the universe of all the ages. I love that God puts that in Hebrews. Jesus himself created time. He made ages as we know them today. That means that he is also the controller of time as well. He's not trapped in it. Not like you and me. He's not trapped in it. I found out this week for my children, I'm officially old. I did not know that was a thing, but they told me I was old. I was like, well, that's good to know. I'm trapped in time. There's nothing I can do about it. Time will progress. It will continue to go forward. I will grow more and more old. It's what is what it is. But you see, the psalmist said, and he understood this well, the psalmist said in Psalm 31:15, my time is in your hands, O God. You must understand where your time is because God holds it in his hand. He doesn't need your help with it. And I know we all try to fight it, right? I get up at 4 in the morning and go down and have a little Eastern European woman yell at me and try to help me reverse time a little bit so I can be more flexible and in shape, right? Or maybe we color our beards or our hair a different color. Maybe with the hair it was when we were in our 20s, we try to go back to that. I can't wait to go salt and pepper. I think it'll be great. Right? Like we would try to do all things to reverse time instead of going, hey, God, my time is in your hands. It's in your hands. There's this old Chinese legend I read. I think it's so cool. I'm going to read it to you. It says this. It's about an old man who raised horses for a living. And when one of his prized stallions ran away, his friend gathered at his home and they mourned the great loss because he made a lot of money off the stallion, but the stallion dipped out of the gate. And so he mourned the great loss and they expressed their concern. And the man raised the question, how do you know whether this when this happened, whether it was bad or good? A couple days later, the runaway horse returned, and falling close behind the horse were the same friends who came to the house, and they celebrated that, and the horse this time also brought strays with it, so other horses. And they came and they celebrated, like, let's have good fortune, we're going to have a great feast, and we're going to celebrate this, and the Chinese man once again said, how do you know if this is bad or good? A few days later, that very afternoon, the owner went out there with the stallion and his son was out there with him and the son was behind the horse. And if you've ever been around him and you agitate him, you find out the horse will kick and it kicked his son. The son's arm, his leg was broken immediately. Once more, his men's friends came around and said, dude, this is horrible. I'm so sorry for you. And he asked the question once again, how do you know if this was bad or good? A few days later, war broke out in the country. The man's son was exempt from military service because he had a broken leg. And you guessed it, his friends gathered once again to say, hey, this is great. And once again, he said, how do you know if this was bad or good? I think you get the point. From our limited perspective, we don't know what time will bring out in our experiences. We don't see the end from the beginning, but Jesus does. So many times in our limited experiences, we experience pain or heartache or we experience joy. We go, this is great or this is horrible. And you don't know if it's bad or good. But the one who does is the one you should keep in the middle of your life. The one who does is the one that we should look to for all those things. He's the one that holds time in his hand. He works it all together for the good of those who love him, being called according to his purposes. Matter of fact, Romans 8:28 says that Jesus is the Father of eternity, the creator and controller of time. But more than that, he's the conqueror of time. as well. He's the victor of all decay and death and that time brings. Psalm 90, David, is a vivid description of the ravages of time, contrasted with the calm of eternity of God. It starts off with this phrase, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. That is from eternity past all the way to present with no beginning and no end, all the way to eternity future, God exists. It will exist forever. Then the psalmist speaks about a man who sprouts like a grass in the morning. And by evening, he withers away. And our existence is like that on earth. We're like a flame of grass, up in the morning and gone by evening. Our existence on earth compared to God's is but a moment. We don't see the whole thing. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. But here's the thing you have to understand. He sees it all. He sees it all. You have to get that God, that what time does to all of us is that eyesight may fade. That's why I wear these glasses, right? My eyesight may fade. My body may grow weaker. Eventually, my mind will fail. We're all growing older. I hope you're encouraged today, right? We're all caught in the flood of time and trapped in the rush of decay and death. But the question is, who can rescue you from this flood? And the answer is, the only one outside of the flood. The only one outside the flood can rescue you from the flood. You see, the Father of eternity can reach into time and pull you out, and His name is Jesus. So flip a few pages over to John 1 and 1. I'm going to throw this up on the screen also if you don't have your Bible with you. I want to read John 1 and 1 because I want you to hear what He has to say here. It starts here. It says, that, starting in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life made manifest, and we have seen it and testify it, proclaim to you eternal life, which was the Father made manifest to us. John calls Jesus eternal life. And then in these verses, in other words, Jesus not only gives you life, He is life. And know Him as eternal life. He says, yes, He gives you life, but He is that life. Matter of fact, flip over a couple of pages to First John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. Again, it'll be on the screen. It says this, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God in eternal life. Someone once wrote and said, give a man medicine when his sickness comes, food for when his hunger comes, help when weakness comes, love when loneliness comes. But when death comes, you can only give the man sympathy, only compassion, never the gift of life. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. So grab hold of him. You got to hold on to him. This is why our hearts are growing cold, because we're not going on to the one that actually brings warmth. You got to grab hold of, embrace Jesus as eternal God by embracing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then I want you to embrace Jesus as your eternal guardian as well. Embrace Jesus as your eternal guardian as well. Grab a hold of Christ as your provider and protector forever. Forever you'll see the everlasting Father. Isaiah 9 and 6 is what we read earlier. Jesus is not only the Father of eternity, He's the Father forever, or more literally, He's Daddy forever. I love the way it is, because the Hebrew word for Father in this verse is Abba. Everybody say Abba.
Abba.
It's like a baby speaking the first time to say Daddy. He's trying to say Daddy, but he says Abba. That's the Hebrew word for Daddy. I love that. I love that. I actually thought I was going to teach my kids that, but then other words came out, and it was fine. Mama, Daddy, it worked out fine, right? But Abba is the Hebrew word for Daddy. So that's the word that's literally used in this verse. That He's everlasting Abba. It's not very formal. You know, it's like, Father, right? It's not that, right? Hello, Father. It's very nice to meet you. It's everlasting Daddy. Hey, Daddy, how are you? See, we kind of have these two extremes in Christianity, right? Where Jesus is my homeboy, and I have no reverence for the holiness of who He is. Or Jesus is so holy and far off that I can't encounter Him. And the God of the universe says, hey, it's a both and, right? I am holy, yes, but I'm also your daddy. My mama put it this way. I'm not one of your little friends, but I still love you. right? Right. So there's a difference, right? Of like, I'm not your friend per se, so I'm not going to kiki around the house with you. I ask you to do what I ask you to do, and you're going to do what I say because I'm your mother or I'm your father. Yes, but you want to snuggle, you want to hold, come to me. You need some food or some sustenance, come to me. You need somebody to walk with you, talk with you. You're heartbroken, come to me. I got you. I have more wisdom, more understanding than your little friends do. That's why I'm not one of your little friends. I'm up here. I'm a little bit different. But over here, I'm still the one that loves you well. That's the God of the universe. He says, I'm holy and set apart, yet I'm your daddy. And I love the fact that you can come to me for comfort is what God says. And so in Isaiah 9 and 6, he actually comes from that small child voice. He says, Abba, Abba. It's a term of endearment. Hear that. Remember, it's not formal. It's a very term of endearment. Your daddy will never leave you or forsake you, much like some earthly fathers may have done. He says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm right here. A teacher in a first grade Sunday school class asked the students to draw a picture of Jesus. And later on, the pastor dropped by, because, you know, we like to check in on everybody. How's it going? What's going on? Let me see those pictures of Jesus. It's always interesting when teachers give drawing assignments with no instructions. They just say something like, draw an alligator and have them look like turtles. You know, draw Jesus, and you're interesting. So a couple of them came out. One girl came out, and she drew a picture of a rainbow. I think that was my little girl. She'd draw a picture of a rainbow, be like, this is Jesus. And that's great. One kid drew, like, you know, I always call it the beauty queen Jesus you see on TV, right? The feathered hair, the Miss America sash. He drew that. And that's fine. And then one girl, I love this, she was drawing the best she could, and the pastor said, what did you draw? And she goes, I drew a picture of my daddy. I think she got it right. I think she got it right. You see, Jesus is like a daddy to us. And according to Isaiah 9 and 6, he's our daddy forever. So embrace him in that. Embrace him as your eternal God. Embrace him as your eternal guardian. But then embrace Jesus as your eternal guide. As your eternal guide. Grab a hold of Jesus as your loving leader forever. Welcome him as the director of your life. We like to use corporate terms nowadays. Welcome him as your corporate director of your life. You see, your daddy forever, Jesus, not only protects us, but he also provides for you. He also shows us the way, he guides you, and he protects you, and he directs you along the way. In Proverbs 3, 11 and 12, the writer says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or instruction, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son delights in. You guys ever watch Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? I'm not talking about Charlie and that weirdness. That was a weird, freaky movie that needs to be burned to the ground. I'm talking about Willy Wonka, right? The old school, you know, good day, sir, that one, right? Okay, so there's Veruca Salt, and her daddy gave her everything. She goes, I want it now. Remember her? She always wanted everything now. And her daddy would be like, okay, baby, and he would give it to her. He didn't love her because he refused to rebuke her. He refused to use the word no. It is a very strong word. It's two letters. And sometimes the answer is no. Children, here, give me your eyes real quick. It's not because we hate you that we say no. Matter of fact, it's because we love you that we say no. Because sometimes it's understanding that you don't need that. We may want it a lot, but we don't need it. That's why we say no. That's the truth of the matter. If we said yes to everything, if you ever watched Bruce Almighty and he said yes to all the emails that he was getting for prayer requests, it went all to havoc. Why? Because everybody's competing interests are against each other. Your personal interests in what you want and where you want to go are antithetical to mine. And what you consider good is not what I consider good. It takes us in the wrong direction. And so you need to understand that saying no, hearing that rebuke, sometimes hearing that discipline from the Lord is a good thing. If God is pricking your heart and going, hey, you're wrong here, then maybe you need to slow down and go, why am I wrong here? The Lord is like a father to us. He teaches us the right way to go. He corrects us when we're wrong. He's our guide. Jeremiah 3 and 4, he says in Jeremiah 3 and 4, an errant Israel cries out to God. He goes, my father, my friend. Literally, in the Hebrew, it says, my guide from my youth. My father, my friend, my guide from my youth. Our Lord is a constant companion and guide. And the problem is that we don't always listen to him. I found out later on in life, the more I've grown, the more wise my father was. I've noticed stages in my life. Maybe some of your parents have gone through this stage. I noticed as a child, my dad and my mom were amazing, right? And then I hit my teenage years and my brain was flooded with testosterone or stupid juice. And I thought that they were the dumbest people on earth and they knew nothing. Then I got into my 20s and they still knew nothing. And then I had children and they became very wise. They all said new things I never knew. And the older I've grown, the more I've realized they always knew it, right? And I've called multiple times. There have been things that have happened in my house, and I've called my father or my mother when she was alive, and I said, if I did this to you, I am so sorry. I had no idea. I've called multiple times. There's a day that I was pulling the trailer, and I called my dad up while pulling the trailer. I said, Dad, thank you. And he goes, why? And I said, because so many people don't even know how to back a trailer up, and you taught me. Thank you. You see, it's those things right there that we grow. As we grow in Christ, we begin to reflect on how good he's been to us, and we become more thankful. We become more warm to who he is because our daddy treated us well. He's always walked with you, but sometimes it isn't always the way you want him to do it. Sometimes it doesn't feel good in that way. You have to understand that when you understand who God is, and the more you grow in who he is, the closer you grow into who he is, the more you're going to love what he's taught you. Amen. Here's the thing, guys. He's going to say it sometimes in ways that you're not comfortable with. He's going to look at you in the eye and go, stop it. Right? This is why I don't do counseling, because I'd be like, stop it. Right? Like he just says, stop it. And you're like, but no. Stop it. Stop being stupid. And you're like, but no, I'm not being, no. It's not an argument. Just stop it. And he'll give you the scripture and we'll still want to argue it. And here's the beautiful thing about our fathers. He'll be on the other side going, I know you did wrong, but I still got you. He's not kicking you out. He's your everlasting father. He's going to walk with you. He's going to help you pick up the pieces. Now, please hear me. That does not mean run through and go and jump headlong into your sin knowing he's going to be on the other side. That's not what that means. What that does mean is heed his instruction so that you don't have to deal with the pain and consequences of what comes out on the other side. He loves you. He loves you. And all the time God is speaking, the question is, are you listening? Are you listening? Jesus has said of himself, the sheep listen to his voice and he leads them out, John 10:3. He's speaking all the time through his word. All the time God is speaking through his word, through his Holy Spirit, through circumstances in your lives, through men and women of God in your life. Are you paying attention? Are you too busy with blinders going, I got it? Have you ever been in a situation where multiple people, I'm not talking about one, I'm talking about multiple people have told you the exact same thing and you still don't listen? Maybe that was the Spirit sending multiple people, none of which talk to each other, to tell you the exact same thing because God's trying to get something across your hard head. Maybe he's trying to help you to understand that, hey, I need to get your attention because you're about to go off a cliff. Maybe he's trying to get you to understand, hey, this is my best for you. Stop. But sometimes we are so set on setting ourselves on fire and then putting the fire out ourselves that we forget everybody else around us. God says, hey, I put a community around you to listen to. I put my word in your hand to read. When will you heed it? I put my spirit in your heart to actually submit to. Jesus is speaking all the time. So I just say this Christmas, embrace Jesus as your eternal God. Embrace him as your eternal guardian. Embrace him as your eternal guide. And then I would also say this, and listen to his voice today, but then you will experience his eternal grace. Amen. You will experience, once you do those three things, you will experience his eternal grace. You see, you'll know his unconditional love. You'll realize his unfailing compassion. And there's one more passage of scripture I want us to look at together. It's Psalm 103, right in the middle of your Bible, Psalm 103. So if you turn there through, but turn right there. And as you do that, I want to kind of read and see what it has to say. It says in verse 8, starts in verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love to those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As the father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. In the context of sin and failure, David remembers that God is a father. God is a daddy, an Abba, who has compassion for his erring children. All those that have erred last week, please raise your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, you just erred, right? Like we have all erred in the last week, right? The word for compassion here in verse 13 speaks of a deep rooted love and natural bond. It's a noun form of the word in Hebrew that refers to the womb of a woman. It's literally what it refers to. Thus, the word itself could be described as a mother's love for her child in the womb, or a brother's love for someone who came from the same womb. That's the type of intimacy that he's talking about here when he says compassion. There's a different type of love between a mother and her child. That's the kind of compassionate love that God has for you. That's the kind of love that God has for you. It's the love that every parent who can't be angry with their children forever. It's the love of every parent who's willing to forgive and forget the past. It's the love of every parent who understands the weakness and accepts us for who we are. It's that very next verse that the Psalm says, "For we know how we are formed, and he remembers that we are dust." We're dust. I started off talking about Santa, so I end off saying this. A little boy was writing Santa, trying to convince Santa that he was good enough for toys, lots of toys this Christmas, like every child I know. And this is what he wrote. "Dear Santa, there are three little boys that live in our house. Jeffrey, he's 2. David, he's 4. And there's Norman, he's 7. Jeffrey is good some of the time. David is good some of the time. But Norman is good all the time. I'm Norman. I like his energy. I'm Norman. But we aren't Normans, are we? We're not good all the time. We're barely good some of the time. But thank God that we're not children that have to convince a Santa that we're good enough. Thank God that we're not children that have to convince God we're good enough. We're good enough by the blood of Christ. That's why you're good enough. Not because you've done good things, not because you wrote a good letter, not because you're a good boy or took out the trash. You're good enough because Christ died for you. That's why you're good enough. You're good enough because we have a Savior who loves us in spite of our sin. We're good enough because Christ loved you enough to bring you into his presence and say, "Well done, I love you. I take on your sin. I give you my righteousness." So you can stand before God one day. I always think of this in personal terms. So I could stand before God one day, covered in his blood, righteous. Like, I always love when people tell me, they go, "Man, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God about this, about that. Like, I'm going to ask him about mosquitoes, you know, because why do we have mosquitoes? And why do we have ticks? Because they bite people and make them not be able to eat red meat. And that's stupid." Listen, here's what I'm going to do. I intend on asking God those questions. I'm sure there'll be a section where those questions will be answered, why mosquitoes are a thing. Like that, I'm sure that'll be a whole thing. But here's what I'll do for the first, like, 15 million years. I'll just go, because I don't deserve to be there. Yet I'm there. Right? What the beautiful part of it. I didn't do anything to earn it, yet I have it. I'm just going to enjoy it. I remember one of the first Christmases I was at my wife's house, and I've showed you guys, we do a big hubbub thing. But in my house, we didn't do a lot of presents. We did socks, shoes, underwear, you know, just basics. And then we watched E.T. I'm still not sure about that. I'll get back to you on why we watch E.T. But we watch E.T. almost every year, like Drew Barrymore, like a whole 9 yards. We watched that. So weird. And my dad went to work, because immigrants, we like to work. And so, like, that's what he did. Every single Christmas day, that's what I remembered. So I remember going up to Iowa and being with her family, and they had the whole shindig. And we do an order from youngest to oldest, right? And so it got to me, and I ordered it, and it was a theology book. Now, if you know me, you've hit the nail on the head. And so they gave me a theology book, and I had coffee. And so I grabbed a cup of coffee and theology book, and I left. and I went somewhere. And there's lots of people, so they didn't notice that I had left. They were enjoying everybody else opening presents, and I was reading in the other room with a cup of coffee by myself, happy. And then they go, John, it's your time to open presents. And I said, huh? I did. I got my book. Thank you. I truly was joyful. I didn't expect anything else. I didn't expect that. I was happy. I got coffee. I have a theology book. I'm a happy man. Give me nothing else. They're like, no, we have more. Yeah. Huh? So I kind of came back in the room and I sat down, and they sure enough had like a pile of presents. I didn't know what to do with that. I'd never really had somebody just give me presents just because. I'd had presents because I needed it, socks, underwear, shoes, because I tore them up because I'm a little boy who just runs things ragged, right? But I never had somebody just give me just because. And it was the first time in my life, not that my parents treated me horribly or anything like that, please don't get that, but it was the first time that I'd really just had been given a gift. A free gift that reflected the love of others on me. And I didn't know how to act right. I remember sitting there the rest of the time awkwardly opening presents and like trying to be happy about it, but not really sure how to feel. Because in my mind, I'm trying to process, like, what does it feel like to like to enjoy this present? Because I still have the one I want. The rest of it, I don't really care about. But I love it, and I'm happy they gave it to me. But there's so much going on right now. And I fear that that is many of us when it comes to God's love. That when you finally get something that you've never actually had before, you don't know how to deal with it. You look at it and you get it and you go, should I accept it? Maybe I'll reject it. Maybe I'll put it over on the shelf and I'll look at it when I'm ready for it. You'll never be ready for it. What you must do, what you have to do right now, is embrace it. Embrace it right now. Hold on to it like you have nothing else, and then you will begin to experience His eternal grace. It will begin to grow a seed in your heart that will feel weird and odd, but once it begins to grow, that will turn into what you want it to grow into. The love of God. The love of God sprouting out of your life into the world through you. And so I will tell you the same thing I told you at the beginning. If you forget everything else, you remember this. This is a soul tattoo. It's this. Jesus is your eternal Father. Embrace His love. If you haven't done it before, you need to do it today. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much that you show us that love, that you show us that grace in our life that we don't even understand or deserve, but you give it to us. God, I constantly wonder why you would love me in the ways you do. What I do know is despite me, despite what I can offer you, you give me the world. This Christmas holiday, let us embrace that, Jesus. Embrace you. And ask not you just be Lord over my life, but you be one that I can enjoy. Warm my heart and warm others' hearts so that we can love you all the more. We ask this in your precious name, and all those God's saints would say, amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.